This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the show about the community theater and the performing arts. We're going to be talking today about, this is the title of the podcast for today, is It's the Little Things That Matter. And once again, because we've got kind of a Marcia run here going on, I'll let Marcia explain exactly what we're talking about when we talk about It's the Little Things That Matter.
Okay. You may think you've been working on a production, everybody knows their lines, blah, blah, blah. You get into your final dress rehearsals, and then there's that big first night, and you never looked from the audience to see that the heroine's hem is like three different lengths, or she has threads hanging off all the way, or that if she's wearing a wig, her what do you call it, John?
The netting
has not been cut close to the hairline. It leaves a big line across her forehead. Mm-hmm. Or you have not, you can see things that have not been finished off. Mm-hmm. And it's the little things like that, the finishing touches that make the difference between an okay production and one that's really high quality.
Yeah, well, one of our friends, Sandy, who is a real techie kind of person,
is her
set construction, and she is in particular is one who gets distracted when, like, the end of a board isn't painted or something's
exactly
just a little off, right?
Well, you know, she has the right to be. If it bothers her, it's got to bother other people. Now, not me, because I focus on the actors, and
right,
if they're
yeah
good, then I can forgive a you lot of stuff.
Of
but
it.
She just. Whoa.
Well, why does it happen? I mean, it happens. Why is it a problem? It's because, like you say, it really takes the audience out of the moment. If I'm trying to focus on a performance and I'm seeing the netting of the wig, I'm back in present day.
Right.
I'm not in the play anymore.
Right.
And
yeah,
I think that's a big problem with that kind of thing.
I think sometimes productions are rushed at the very last minute. Things, you know, like we were talking about, not waiting to the last minute on wigs.
Yeah.
In a couple of episodes ago, I think it's kind of the same situation. You know, you're building the set. It's the week before tech. You're not in that zone. Maybe the tech director doesn't attend rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And so it just gets missed. I often think that one of the issues is that directors don't move around the auditorium enough.
That's very true.
Well, that's one of the things, and we were talking about this in relationship to this topic, is that, you know, you just things like sight lines and just not mm-hmm looking. I think directors, and I know that I'm guilty of this, which is why it's always good to have other eyes looking at things, is you kind of get used to the way something is to the point where it feels right.
And then when something
changes on that, then, well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. And so, you know, you get a little inflexible after a certain period of time to the point where you aren't even really noticing mm-hmm the problems. And so I think that's why it's always good to have another person involved who is, you know, not afraid to be critical a little mm-hmm bit, you know?
Yeah. And the unfortunate part is that if it's only one or two little things, but if you're in the audience and you spot those, suddenly they can become your focal point for the rest of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my Lord, look at that 2x4. It's not painted on the back. Well, mm-hmm, maybe they thought it wouldn't matter, or they didn't have time. As John says, you get really, really rushed the closer you get to opening night. And it's got to fall to somebody to just view the production with a very kind of cold eye and mm-hmm see all these things that need to be fixed.
And some of the problem is that it's inconsistency, because you can have a rough set. You can have a set that's made of 2x4s if that's your concept, right?
Right.
But then when something doesn't quite match the rest of the concept, that's the one thing that'll pop out and throw you out of the moment, because you can accept – I mean, you can do Hamlet on 2x4s and plywood if you want to, but but then once you start putting, you know, maybe, you know, antique furniture in the middle of it, then it suddenly doesn't make any sense anymore.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so,
who's responsible then for making sure these little things, you know, don't get out of hand?
Ultimately, it's the director.
Is it the director? Is it the stage manager? You know,
well, it depends, I think, on the size of the theater and who you have doing what. I mean, if we're talking about the set, then whoever's designing the set needs to have to be there working with the director. And you know, as a tech director myself, I sit in on rehearsals and I move around. I sit on both sides of the auditorium. I sit in the back. I sit in the front. Not only is it my job to make sure that the sight lines are covered, but to make sure everything's painted, to make sure that as the tech director, I'm hearing what I need to hear where, so that if I need to use amplification somehow, we use the amplification. Not everybody's lucky enough to have a tech director. So then you have somebody who's responsible for that at your building.
Yeah.
But it does
ultimately, you know, it follows. The director has to notice everything some way or another and be able to make decisions.
But
about
you also
those
rely
things.
On people to do that for you. Yeah. If you've got a costumer, you rely on the costumer to come to the rehearsals look at the stage and make sure that the hands and the assistant director should be doing that as well.
Sure.
If your assistant director doesn't move into the stage manager, then once the assistant director is done being on book and doing stuff like that, they should be sitting all around the auditorium looking at those sight angles, looking at the hems on dresses, looking at the netting on the wigs and saying, you know what, that doesn't quite jive. It's, you know, but again, if you wait to the last minute to do all that stuff, sometimes you just don't have time to fix it. You know, if you're doing
– right.
It is the little things. I just thought of I forget what show I was watching, but it had a regular door that would not stay closed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a character would go out and shut the door and then one, two, it started to swing open again. And I was so fascinated with that door that I forgot to really watch what the heck else was going on.
Yeah.
You know, and those are things that you got to check.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You have to find
out. Or for me, something as simple as going to some of the larger theaters and some of the high school theaters, they don't bring their soft goods, their legs and their grand drape to the floor. They always leave them just slightly off the floor.
So
and then I've
got
to sit in the audience watching feet run across backstage.
Oh, yeah.
And it just makes me crazy.
See?
It makes me crazy.
Why don't they do that? Why would they? Is it to keep them cleaner or something?
It gets dirty. They don't want your drapes to get dirty. They'd have to be
dirty.
Cleaned. It's like, but there's a reason why we say they bouncing a drape. I mean, it's supposed to hit the floor. You know, I don't know. it does make stuff like that makes me crazy. And then to watch, you know, and it happens in my theater. People walking in and out of light because that during the design process on the lights, somebody forgot to put a light into the queue.
Right.
You know, okay. So I do that from time to time. All right, people, that's me. I'm talking about me here. Okay. But then I have to go back in and hopefully I catch it before opening night.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes other theaters don't catch those things.
No.
And the person continues through the entire run of the show to walk into a dark spot because the light just wasn't put on. And it's something as easy as, I mean, it's such an easy fix.
Right.
You know, and that's something
easy
that a director.
Easy for you to say.
Well, a director should catch it. The director should be going like, there's something wrong there. Why are they standing in the dark when nowhere else on stage are they standing in the dark? Well, unless that's a deliberate decision on the director's part, for the most part, it just means that there's a light missing somewhere. Either the light burned out or the light never got put into a queue and it needs to get fixed.
Yeah. And usually it's not a big deal to put it in if you have to,
I know that we continue to make corrections on a show up through opening night and sometimes afterward.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Zonker, who's a friend of the show, will tweak the lights up till opening night. And sometimes he'll come back in between weekends and he'll tweak them again
What do I change?
They're blocking constantly.
Oh, I've heard that about you, David.
Yeah.
But
I didn't want to believe it. Oh.
But it's just – but it is having an eye and it's a trained eye. I mean, you can train your eye to look for detail always.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And if you don't have an eye for detail, and some directors don't, then you need to ask your designers to come in.
How do you know a little thing really is such a little thing that you let it go?
Well, I think mm-hmm. you have to assume that there is no such thing as a too little thing.
Right. You have to be kind of perfectionist.
Yeah. If you want to.
Right.
Or else why don't you just pitch a tent and do everything outside where it doesn't matter, you
right.
know? I mean, you.
Black box is appealing.
Yes. Yes. It is.
Well, the thing is that. Yeah, I mean, there is a point at which you really don't – you cannot make more changes. I don't think that anybody's – I mean, as a director, I'm never totally satisfied.
No.
And you just – and that's just – you know, even if the audience is crazy about a show, there's always something I can think of that could change.
Yeah.
Pride in detail. I mean, I think there's a certain amount of pride in detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just like – we. It's an art form. We're creating an art form.
Right.
And I mean, you can – if you go to an art gallery and you look at paintings, you can usually tell a piece of schlock against a piece of good art. Not always, but usually you can. But, you know, and it's kind of the same thing here or at any theater. You should strive for the best art you can possibly produce. And
right.
So it's in the detail. I don't know. I mean, I
a lot of times it's in the end, and it's not just well, it's not just there. I'm reminded of, you know, Steve Jobs, who everybody seems to be talking about right now because of the movie and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But they made the inside of the Mac, and I think it's still that way. But the original Mac, he insisted that the insides of the Mac had to be immaculate and look really good and be well laid out and everything else, even though the customer never saw it.
Yeah.
Well.
And because it was just like he was like that much into perfection in design that it had to be perfect inside as well as outside.
And there are some people who would say just let it go. Come on.
And some people would say let it go.
Oh,
yeah.
I know
Where's
that.
Where's your, you know.
I see one theater company where that's the byword. Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Just let it go. Doesn't matter. They'll never notice.
And I will say that there have come to points for me as a designer where I sit in the audience and I'm looking at that and I'm going, I really should change that. Or well, if I just add one more sponge color to that wall, it would really pop.
Yeah, but time is always your enemy.
But
in
a community theater, it really is because for the most part, we're working with volunteers who can only come in the evenings. They don't have time during the day to be here.
Uh-uh.
And almost every community theater, no matter what, every volunteer is trying their hardest to make the show the best it can be. And sometimes you have to say, well, maybe that is where we need to be, that it is right now, it is good enough. And, mm-hmm. and then let it, and then stop, you know, because you don't have time. Like you said, there's no more time. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to say, "There's no more time. We've done the best we can do."
Yeah, you may not be finished, but you're done. You know, it's
that's very good, David.
You may not be finished really, but you're done.
I have
now.
To remember
you're
that.
Done now. Yeah, and you have to do that. But I mean, no, certain things can be adjusted. But I think that you know, you always have to keep focusing. I guess maybe it's just sort of, you know, the more quality control you can have on a show, and most of that's going to be in terms of many sets of eyes.
Right.
The director is ultimately responsible, but the people that he or she works with have to have, you know, a focus on, and the actors can help with that kind of stuff too. You know, sometimes performers, we think the performers are just, you know, kind of up there doing what the director tells them, but you know, they've got to be thinking all the time.
Yeah.
Does this work better? Does that work better? And sometimes actors that do that all the time may seem like maybe they're kind of, you know, being a little bit of a pain because they keep thinking about it too much. But at a certain but that's up to the director to make the decision that no, we're done with that now. Mm-hmm. But good actors are always thinking about better ways to do a performance too. So it's those little things too that make a difference.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think? I mean, if you don't have a tech director and a costumer, and if you're just it's community theater on the shoestring that so many community theaters do. That's the great because that means they're still doing theater and they're getting mm-hmm. that out there. But do you think that there's almost always somebody that the director can trust to say, come in, watch the last couple of dress rehearsals, and this is what I want you to look for. And it's not about acting. It's about, I need your eye. Because I don't want my eye to be drawn to that now.
Yeah.
Will you look at the details? Have somebody come in.
There's even if it's someone else who directs in the same theater or even another theater, somebody, you know, who's done a few shows, had a few shows under their belt, that would be good to bring somebody in like that if you really don't have people internally to do it.
Yeah. Because actually the little things that I was talking about before are not like great major changes. It's just little things that were all left to the last minute because, mm-hmm. oh, well, we can do that later. Mm-hmm. This is more important. And then, bingo, it's time to open, and the little thing is still sitting there waiting to be mm-hmm. done.
I did a show once where I left a screwdriver on stage. I mean, and I didn't see it. I mean, I had been looking at the set for so long, I never saw the screwdriver laying like right there. I think it was on the front of the stage. And it just kind of disappeared in my brain because I had been seeing it for so long.
Yeah.
And finally, on opening night, I saw somebody just before the show start, and luckily it was a friend of the theater, reach up on the stage and get the screwdriver and pull it off the stage. And it's like, how could I have missed that?
Yeah.
And it's because I had been seeing the show every night. That screwdriver had been there probably for a week. The set was finished. I thought the set was finished, and it had just blended in my brain, and it needed another set of eyes.
Another aspect of little things. This is an old story, but we were once doing a production of a musical here that was set would be late 1800s, 1890s, something like that. And the director of the show at the time allowed one of the players to come on with a woman in, you know, pioneer dress and all this kind of stuff, wearing clogs, which were popular in the 80s, I guess, in 70s and 80s, you know. And it was her, and that was what she wore for the show. And it's like, you know, that's a little thing that is, you know, and some people will not think about shoes, you know, audience members, but a lot of people would notice it right away.
Subliminally, they take in a lot of things that maybe pop out to them afterwards, you know.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, why was that girl wearing clogs? Mm-hmm. You know, in the middle of the night. Oh my Lord, why was she wearing clogs? I can't understand.
And one of the things for me that will consistently take me. I mean, there are a lot of things that can, but hair really is one of the things that can take me out of the. When you're doing a show that takes place in the 40s and you allow your actors to kind of just kind of put their hair, you know, or even earlier 1800s where you kind of just, they pull their hair back in a bun and then they take their curling iron and they make little curls that come down their sides, and it doesn't look anywhere close to like a hairstyle from the era. And just a little bit of research would have helped that. And sometimes that'll just pop me right out of it. And again, that's a director thing, you know, just taking a little bit of time.
Well, or set pieces that don't match, like a radio that's on stage that is the wrong period.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and this one drives me batty, is pop music. Sometimes if we use pop music in a show or is intermission music that someone thinks is, say, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really 60s or later, or they'll throw something from the 50s thinking it's big band era or swing, and it's not. I mean, it's just, you know, I notice the wrong era in music very often. And it's even in classical music, you can be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And even though a lot of audience members won't notice it, I do.
Yeah.
So, see, everybody notices different things.
Little things, yeah.
And I'm sure that at least two or three people in your audience are going to be noticing the little things that didn't get done.
That's right.
So try and get as many of them as you can.
Yes, please.
So be perfect. being a perfectionist is not necessarily is not wrong. It's not wrong. And you know, it's like you say, you may be finished, but you're not. You may not be finished, but you're done. But at least you got a lot closer if you've been a perfectionist.
As close as you could.
Maybe that, I don't
close
know.
Close only counts in horseshoes.
That's right.
And hand grenades.
And hand grenades.
There you go. Okay. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. So you can listen to Theater Geeks at the website, theatergeeks.com, on iTunes, Stitcher On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com, BLUBRRY, blueberry with no E's.com.
Don't forget to subscribe.
And don't forget to subscribe. Yes. To our podcast. You can also subscribe to our newsletter. We have a sign up for the newsletter. If you don't have a podcatcher and you like to listen on the website, if you get the newsletter, we send out an announcement every time there's a new episode available. So you can do it that way as well. Plus, you'll get some other geek news, especially geek news about our upcoming I Know episode. We're going to do our show live here at the Opera House on November 9th. If you're interested in being here, you should be able to you'll be able to call and order tickets. Are we going to be able to do those online?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know yet. We'll figure that out.
But the seating is general seating.
It's general seating, and it's $10 a ticket. And
it's fun. You come, have a good time.
It supports our theater, and we understand that many of you around the world are not going to be able to just stop by.
Which makes us sad.
Absolutely.
But, hey, if you've got questions or comments or things that you'd like us to maybe bring up during that those episodes, we'll probably record 3 live episodes that day. Send us some questions, comments. We always want to hear from you. About possible topics for upcoming episodes anyway, and this is even a better excuse to do that. So watch for it. November 9th will be our live episode here at the Bristol Opera House. You should also be sure to stop by our online store where you can stock up on geek gear such as hats, caps, mugs, teddy bears, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and all sorts of imprinted items, including my favorite, the Theater Geeks beer stein. So,
I believe
we have a beer stein. Yes, we do.
Oh, I know who I'm getting that.
There's also Theater Geeks clocks. You can get a wall clock that has a Theater Geeks logo on it.
Are you serious? I'm going to have to check that place again.
Yes.
Did you say that? Did you really say that?
What did you say, thong?
No, yep. He said it's a beer. You're talking about the Theater Geeks clock, and he says it's about time.
Oh, I see. There you go.
On that note, we're vanishing into the
airwaves.
That's
it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.